Welcome to another BlindBargains.com exclusive audio podcast brought to you by the AT Guys, your assistive technology experts. Visit ATGuys.com today for all your technology needs. Now, here's JJ Meadow.
We're here about to depart ATI Orlando. This is JJ Meadow.
And Matt McCubbin.
And time to wrap up and a little bit of what we saw here at the conference this year in Orlando. It's beautiful here. We're kind of standing around by the pool. Got some reggae or is that Jamaican? What kind of music is that?
Caribbean?
I don't know. It's some sort of music there in the background. Yeah. It's beautiful out here. But we did see a lot in the exhibit hall. Actually, probably a little more than maybe we expected to see here at ATIA.
Yeah, one of the things that we definitely noticed was the abundance of camera OCR solutions. And we talked about this a little last year. But there's definitely a lot of them. Many companies are trying to come out with the best and most accurate and highest megapixel camera-based text recognition system. That's going to be very interesting to see because then you have AI Squared coming out with Zoom Reader as an iPhone app for $20 that does a lot of video magnification and a few OCR functions. So you can actually take a picture of some text and it'll read it back to you. So that's definitely going to be very exciting.
It seems like we have two different types of these camera applications. Last year, a lot of people were coming after the KNFB reader with these portable or semi-portable applications. You had the Intel reader. Gorilla had a little the Rave netbook solution and a couple others. This year, kind of on the heels of the Pearl and, of course, Abacy having the camera-based ones for a while, you have more of these systems with the camera and the arm that kind of pops out. Maybe people realizing that you can get a little more accuracy by having a semi-portable system where the camera sticks out. Of course, those are generally costing more, anywhere from a few hundred dollars up to $2,500 or more.
Absolutely.
The Intel Reader, maybe things have changed a little bit since last year. They are pricing it, they have been pricing it for a little bit, at under $900 now, and that might give it a little bit of a different outlook. They've also updated the firmware. It's certainly not speedy, but it is definitely faster than when we reviewed it a year ago.
Yeah, it took about 20 or 25 seconds to start reading the page, which was great. I mean, it used to take almost twice that amount to start reading. So there's definitely been some improvements made to that. I know that originally they wanted to have it on sale for $895 until the end of January, but when I spoke with the gentleman at the Intel booth, he said that he believed that the price would stay the same until the end of the first quarter.
Yes, so at least the end of the first quarter, and in fact, I think there's at least some hope that price might become permanent. You did mention Zoom Reader, the iPhone app for OCR and video recognition. I don't think that's the last we're going to see of these type of apps. You got to think that a lot of companies are definitely looking at the mobile arena and the mobile space and kind of figuring out what is going to be the next biggest thing. And there's going to be more apps, I think, from other companies. They're all going to think that they have the next big thing. And I do see a lot of movement, especially with access to the iPhone and creating mobile platform applications.
Especially not only the iPhone, but, Android. There's a lot of Android rumblings. Code Factory's Android solution. There were some definite rumblings about that.
Yep, and then we heard from Nuance. They are indeed working on something. We don't know what, but they're at least touching the platform, and there's some consideration for that. Bookshare made a mention of an Android app yesterday in a podcast, and I know there's more that people just aren't talking about yet for Android. Maybe at CSUN we'll be hearing a little more about that.
I think this is great for the consumer. I mean, you have a lot of these, single-purpose products that cost $1,500, $2,500. You're not going to be able to charge an iPhone app for that price.
Sure.
Zoom Reader is $20. The Bookshare app for the iPhone, they were talking about it being $20. So that's definitely great for the consumer, but at the same time, we'll definitely want to watch out, if there's a flood of iPhone apps.
Sure. I think a market remains, though. I know there's a school of thought out there that the high-priced items are dead, the note-takers are dead. I don't think that to be the case, as long as the education market holds up. You have to remember, the primary focus of ATIA is education. And many of your buyers of these products are schools, buying them for children and buying them for other people. And while I'm glad to see a movement towards more consumer-focused products and these lower-priced alternatives, I think there will still be a need for the higher-quality Braille displays, such as Active Braille from HandyTech, which is a $7,000 item.
That was pretty cool. When you hear $7,000 from HandyTech, you're like, wow, that's really expensive. But at the same time, it's almost something you have to feel for yourself. It's definitely a technology for Braille displays that hasn't been seen before. So it's definitely exciting, especially for the education market, as JJ was saying.
You know what? And honestly, some blind people, and I hear this a lot, will have a bit of a sense of entitlement. You know what? I should be able to afford everything. You know what? If you're a sighted person, you're driving a car, not everybody can afford a Mercedes. There's going to be products out there that you're going to want to have that you can afford. There's going to be some products out there that you might either have to save up for, or you're going to have to pick and choose what is really the most important for you. So I think that market's going to remain. I'm glad to see there is a little bit more focus towards consumers, as that seems to be kind of the trend over the last couple years. Some companies definitely get it more than others as far as looking at the consumers and what the actual needs are. Having blind people test out their products, you definitely can see a disparity between the ones that do and the ones that don't.
Another thing that a lot of people were talking about was WindowEye 7.5. And I know JJ spent a fair amount of time conducting an interview regarding that.
Yes, it does sound like a pretty major release. It's no longer scripts, it's apps. And it'll be interesting to see how that takes. If that's going to be just a fad terminology or if that's something that will really stick. Definitely some improvements, a completely new interface. We'll see how that goes over. JAWS 12 did a bit of a change to their configuration interface as well. So I know there's been a lot of kind of movement to modernize the screen reader experience for Windows. And both JAWS and WindowEye both have to do a little more, it seems, to stay relevant and to keep themselves above the lower cost and free alternatives. We talk about NVDA, they weren't here, but we don't even know how their funding situation is going to be and how long they're going to be around. So it's definitely good to have alternatives. As far as disappointments, there's a couple that jump on me. Here's the one that kind of I thought was a little goofy. We did an interview with Gorilla, and it's kind of funny. They do seem to come up on this topic a bit. They have their portable, semi-portable, or end desktop kind of OCR solutions, which is fine. Plenty of people are doing that and probably charging a little more than they should be. They have the regular version with the flatbed scanner for $19.99. They have the Plus version for $200 more that lets you save up to 20 pages. And then, if you pay $300 over that, you can save unlimited documents. Now, don't tell me it really costs you anywhere close to $500 or even $20 or $50 to add that functionality. That seems like the goofiest upsell I've ever seen on a product in a long time. If you're going to, add additional functionality or, maybe have an alternative keyboard or, a bigger hard drive, something like that, that's one thing. But to pay $200 so you can save 20 pages?
Yeah, that definitely seems quite a big ripoff. Another thing that we definitely noticed, HumanWare is talking about KeySoft 9.1, and it does contain some really cool new features. Analyst support is great. Audible enhanced is nice.
The network support is streamlined. You plug in the Ethernet jack,
yep,
it works well.
Yep, that's something that I think should have been in there from day one. But there is something that's quite a disappointment, I know, to many people, and the fact is that this version of KeySoft will still not support Office 2007 and 2010 documents. It's 4 years after 2007, and the Braille note still doesn't support DOCX files, which I think in our day and age, in our education system, is quite something that, isn't going to fly for a lot of schools.
If you get documents from a professor, you have to go back, oh, I'm sorry, I can't support the format that's been out for a few years. 3 or 4 years ago, that might have been acceptable. They need to catch up, and I know they're capable of doing that. They have some great people working on the product, but if they can put the same support that they have into 2007 and 10 that they have into 2003, then you'll be doing okay. But I know people were definitely kind of expecting that in this first update for KeySoft, and it was kind of talked about a bit when the Apex first was released last year.
Yep, and it's one of those things that has been talked about. It was one of the features that supposedly was going to be implemented. And it is nice. It is a free update for those who do have an Apex, but still it's a feature.
Well, we knew that, though, because when the Apex first came out, they did say you were going to get your first update for free. So but now, though, when they do Office 2007 and 2010, are they going to charge for that? I really think they should be throwing that in for free. For if anybody bought an Apex, I think that's only the right thing to do would be to give that update for free as well. Empower users still kind of wondering, we had no answer yet on what is up with the two more updates that are coming to the Empower. Obviously, you're not going to have all your Office support and a lot of that more modern things, but they were promised updates, and we'll see how long it takes for anything to come out from that. It seems like those last two SMA counts might be wasted on some pretty trivial things. I'm definitely, as a whole, after going to ACIA Chicago, I was a little worried about what this conference was actually going to have, but it's good to see, coming back to Orlando, that this conference really hasn't changed that much. There is a lot of new things here. It being the first major conference of the year, there was a lot of debuts here. Definitely plenty of reason to go down there. I don't feel like I wasted a trip coming down to Florida.
Oh, no, it's Florida, so, I mean, it's, you know, you don't need an excuse to go to Florida.
That's true. We could have no conference here, but we'd be fine coming to Florida. But
no, there were definitely a lot of people, a lot of new people. I was talking to some of the vendors, and they were saying that it's been busy for most of the week. So that's definitely good to see. Whereas at ATI Chicago, it was basically dead the whole time, which was quite despairing.
And this year might even be worse, because about here we're talking about not going back, and you know, frankly, we might not either. So we'll see what happens. Well, CSUN is next. CSUN is a bigger conference. Not necessarily as many new debuts there, because a lot of it's done here. The session outlook is definitely better, I think, at CSUN from a consumer standpoint. You have a lot more research studies and cutting-edge things.
A lot more prototypes.
Yeah. Here it's more towards education and things that are already released. So, and I know CSUN is a very well-attended conference, also very well covered on the social networks through Twitter and the CSUN 11 hashtag, so I know that'll be very easy to follow. And we'll be there as well, covering CSUN in the exhibit hall and doing podcasts and, of course, the blog posts between me and Matt and anybody else who happens to join the Blind Bargains crew from San Diego. Any final thoughts, Matt? Or?
No, I don't think so. It's definitely been an exciting 3 days. You know, a lot of excitement, a lot of energy on the floor. So it'll be very interesting to see what comes out of a lot of these initiatives and different products for 2011.
This seems to be the year that mobile technology is really going to take hold. And it will be interesting to see how many companies decide to jump into that fray. I've heard lots of rumors. I heard lots of kind of rumblings about people thinking about it. So we'll have to definitely see how much we can find. And maybe by CSUN, more of that will come to fruition. For ATIA, goodbye, Orlando.
I'm Matt McCubbin.
I'm JJ Metal. We'll see you soon.
This has been another exclusive audio podcast from Blind Bargains. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest technology deals, news, and interviews. So long.